Good evening. I'm coming straight from Georgetown, a church safety conference summit that was proposed by the sheriff of Williamson County, Sheriff Chody. In coming into the building, I said, "What brings Christians together?" I think there must have been 1,000. I'll wait for the official count, but that's just my count. 1,000 people there assembled. Safety. Maybe not doctrinally, but they'll come together for safety. But it's also part of what I am trying to do. There are so many bad things going on. So many things that we can focus our attention on. And of course, who wants to distract us from those things which are good, pure, holy, but Satan? Even last week, we had a wonderful presentation on things that are affecting our children that we need to be aware about. But there was one statistic that bothered me. When we look at churches, even churches of Christ, statistically, we're not much different. In fact, we're not different at all. So I want to go into Philippians, not to find the negative, but to find the positive. And before all of this was even planned out, Philippians 4 and verse 4, which is what we read this morning, which is what Bill Snow talked about. But I think we still need more on this subject. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, this is the season of Thanksgiving. And I can just stop there and say, I'm for it. I am for rejoicing because in my cornucopia of things, I can just start and I can go on and on about things I want to rejoice about. Let me first start with my beautiful wife, or in NASCAR terms, my smoking hot wife. Okay? Thank God that I had enough lick of sense to marry a godly woman. I had no idea. I was nervous when the girls were coming home. They'd been gone for a while. Are strangers going to come back? And it has been just pure joy having them back in the house, interacting all together. And I was like, boy, there was a couple of holes missing in my life. And now they're back, and we've got them for a week. Enjoy that time. I can think about blessings in my life. We often pray about a safe home, a warm home, a comfortable bed, food that we can prepare. I thank God for you, the church, for my friends. I thank God for Jesus and for God's love. For Jesus' sacrifice, for the Word of God. I thank God seasonally for peaches and the ability to make peach ice cream and to share that with people. I could go on about the positive things, but I left out something. Rarely do I thank God, as it says, rejoice, what? In the Lord. All right, in the Lord, I need to rejoice. Giving God the credit, giving God the praise, thinking in terms of God. But then he says this pesky word, always. Always. I wish it said just most of the time, or when things were good. But what if things are sour? What if things are bad? What if, as Laura Story writes, in her song called Blessings, what if, and we pray for blessings, We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All on board for those? But God hears our what we're praying for. What if He has bigger things in mind? We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. What if God has bigger things in store for us? How can He accomplish those? Because what if your blessings come through not sunshine, but raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you, God, are near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Thank God for that. I know I don't pray for that for my kids, but I want them to have that. I want them to have that wisdom. I want them to have those positive aspects of it, but spare them, protect them, guard them from that. They're the very things that Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, he says what? Suffering produces patience. Patience produces character. Character produces hope. Do I want my children to have patience? Do I want my children and myself to have character? Do I want them to have hope? What does Romans 5:3 say? It all starts with suffering, trials, tribulations. Those are the things which shape us. Those are those aspects that God uses. Again, we pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel that you're near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. We already know the consequences of someone who thinks that they can do it all themselves. They grow up and they have no compassion for the rest of us. They think, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. You just do it. God wants us to be what? Dependent on Him. So that we can do what? Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, He just won't let it go. Again, I say rejoice. Now, rejoicing in suffering, that's a different kind of rejoicing. I'm not going to call y'all over and have a party over it. But how can I rejoice in those things which typically we say, please, spare me from them? Usually it comes after, doesn't it? After when I can look back. After when I find a fellow Christian who is going through something that I went through and I can encourage them. Or I think, you know, I made it through that and it created a dependency on God that has not been shaken in my life that I needed further on. It gave me an insight. Number one thing that people pray for a lot of times is patience. You know what God does when He hears, got a prayer for patience? Send someone to teach it to you. Try your patience, maybe at the same time. We pray for wisdom, but where does wisdom come from? The school of hard knocks. Do we really want to be spared from all that? But he continues in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. This world needs gentleness, the gentleness of Christ, who had all the power in the universe, who could call down angels, but chose to yield to his Father's will, dying on the cross. Chose to wash the feet of his disciples and the one who would betray him. Why is this? Why be gentle? The Lord is near. And Paul digs even deeper. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, let me help you. Let's just say, let's not be anxious about so many things. Set the bar up here. Why say anything? Anxious. Isn't that what we are right now? Isn't that why 1,000 people gathered to talk about church safety? Because they are anxious. But why are we, as Christians, asked to not be anxious about anything? Don't we need to be reminded the battle's been won? The conflict is settled? God is in control? What can we do, men, about the hair on our head? Not too much. But yet God knows how many. What can we control by worrying? I always think about the lady who said, don't you tell me worrying doesn't do any good. The things I worry about, they never happen. How do you argue with that? Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, what's our weapon? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving again. Present your request to God. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. As I look even at my own children, I can't pat myself on the back. You know what? Great kids come from great prayers. I'll just tell you that. Great prayers and little decisions every day. Continuing to work and love and nurture. Patience, perseverance. Take it to the Lord. And then what will happen? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about that peace of God that passes all understanding. You've been there, haven't you? Where you've longed for that peace. That peace in your own life. Sometimes that loss of peace comes from sin. Sometimes it comes from decisions in our lives. Sometimes it is beyond your control. But when you take it to God, what else can you do? You're still left with do what you can, leave the rest to God. I struggle with that dilemma. Someone said, work like it all depends on you. And then what? Pray like it all depends on God. I always try to remind myself that it's probably more on the tail end of that. Pray like it all depends on God. Do what you can. But pray like it all depends on God. And then the peace will come over. I can't fix the world, but God had a plan. God had a plan in sending His Son. I'm just a small part of it. Now let's continue in verse 8. It's a little bit of a shift, but I like to challenge you with this. Put this on your TV monitor. Put this on the remote control. Put this, I like to say in the old terms, on the TV guide. Put this on your channel selection, your computer. Put it on your phone, whatever. Whatever your activity, ladies, put it on your romance novel. What does it say? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, what are you saying? Look to those things which are good, righteous, holy. That's not what's rolling in front of me every day. Whatever, that's not the news that I watch. What's being focused on there is what? The very darkest depths of depravity, the very worst of mankind. And what is that going to do to me? In some ways, it seems like, if you'll be honest with you, isn't it Satan just saying, woohoo, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And you know what? That's right. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. But the good, the noble, the pure thing is what? God has a plan. God has a way of breaking through all the darkness and all the evil. And He has a redemptive plan for us, that we can trust Him, that we can have assurance in, that we can have hope in, that we can have peace with. But if I go there into the dark places, if I am not seeking His Word, I get discouraged, I get into sin, I just want to give up, I lose hope, I think at this time, though, let's read it again. I'm going to ask you the question, so where should we go? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where do I go? Let's start here. Go to His Word. Study it. Find out what God is doing and how God is working in this world and the affairs of men. Find out what's really going on. And start having trust and faith. An old song. It got us through World War II, at least that's what the CD said that I listened to. It said, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark. What did they do when everything looked so bad? Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. Satan would have us believe us that he's winning when God has already won. Cynicism, criticism, especially of God, so rampant. Let me read another song that I just love. I hear people putting God down, saying that when they look around, all they see are the bad things heading their way. Well, I admit that watching the news can sure give a person a case of the blues. But it's all in where you look for him each day. Because I see him in the seeds I grow. I see him in the rooster's crow. I feel him when my husband's hand is in mine. I taste him in the meals I make. I smell him in the bread I bake. When I look around, I don't have to wonder where he'll be. I see him in you, and I hope you see him in me. What's that song saying to us? Where do you look for the power of God? Where do you look to fight the evil that is around you? When you pull that turkey out of the oven Thursday, and the aroma hits the house. I should start with breakfast. That's where I was. The bacon permeates through the house, and the cornbread, the cranberry bread comes out of the oven, and the eggs are on, and we're having that traditional breakfast. What is going on in my house? I am fighting Satan, my wife and I, with those. We're creating memories, aromas of love to say life is good, God is good, simple things are a blessing. And then every fragrance that's part of that meal unites my family in their love for each other, their love for God, God giving God the glory, thanksgiving. Simple things like that. Grow a garden. Watch plants grow. Eat that fruit when it's ripe. Tastes so good, doesn't it? Can't buy that in the store. Many years ago, Wanda Hogarth gave us some wild grape jelly. We put it out there amongst the schmuckers and the plethora of other jellies that are out there in the world. They started slapping it on toast. Guess what? I'll tell you today that my kids could taste the love. Mary McClennis says, I think they can taste the sugar. But in my world, no, they taste the love. And with that jelly, we stand and say, God is good. God is loving. And He has surrounded us with families, with churches, with communities that care and love for us. And we can be thankful. And I could go on and on, but I think you get the idea. We have more in our quiver of arrows, more in our arsenal than we realize, because we have love. God's love. Simple things make a strong, strong statement. Time spent with a child, a spouse, mother and father, makes a strong statement. And God is greater than Satan. Good overcomes evil. We are on the right side. peace begins to come over me. Not because of what I've done, but because of what God has done. So looking out at you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who encourage me so much, who I know that if I need help, I can go to, and you can help me, you can encourage me, you can maybe even straighten me out. Good luck. I'm not alone. Because when you're with God, it's a majority. An overwhelming majority. Don't let these holidays get you down. Hopefully we can let them build you up. But if you need prayers at this time, if you want us to pray about something in your life, take that. That's what this verse says. Leave it with the Lord. If you'd like to make a commitment to Him, put Him on in baptism. There is no better time than right now. Won't you come while we stand and sing?